But it actually, in light of hearing Jenna's testimony, I'm going to ask an interesting question this morning as I begin, and as we look at God's Word in Ephesians chapter 3. And the question may seem a little bit ridiculous in light of some of what we've just heard, but the question is this. Have you ever asked yourself the question whether the church matters? And it's an honest question. I'm not going to like hit you over the head if you have asked it. I've asked it myself, and I'm a pastor. Does the church matter? Is the church making a difference in our world? Would be another way of asking the question. If the church were to fade away tomorrow, would anybody really notice? And when I refer to the church, you need to understand that I'm referring to the people of God, but generally expressed best in a local body such as ours, like Westwood Church or Fort George Baptist or Overcoming Faith, you know, any body of believers that gather throughout Prince George. Now, perhaps this isn't the most inspirational way to begin a sermon, but sometimes the people of God actually have to ask difficult questions within the church because these questions are being asked by those outside the church. So we need to ask them. Sometimes these questions are asked by consumers or complainers of church. People who have heard it all before, they've seen it all, and they feel like there's nothing new to offer them. And I admit, as a pastor, I've come to realize that the worst thing to do is to try and shape a ministry around consumers and complainers. Just a bad thing to do. Sometimes these questions are asked by those who view the church as irrelevant, out of touch with culture, and out of touch with people who live within culture. And then there's some people who are simply unaware of what the church is, what it's called to do, and what it's called to be. I had a conversation this past week with an individual who had seen on our website that we were offering divorce care. And this surprised them. Because in their thinking, if divorce is not God's ideal, why in the world would the church engage in a support network that comes alongside those who've experienced a breakdown in marriage? They were both surprised and encouraged that Westwood would actually do something like this. So, back to our question, does the church matter? Why would we offer a supportive network for men and women who have experienced divorce? Why would we offer youth ministry to our young people like Jenna, who shared her testimony and who is now starting an alpha group in her high school? Why do we have people gathering in this way on these times every weekend, and are we making a difference? Well, in our Bible passage, so if you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 3, because we actually get to the heart of this question, because we actually discover in Ephesians chapter 3 that God has a plan for His church, and it matters. The church matters big time. If you were here last weekend and picking up from where we left off in Ephesians, end of chapter 2, we know that through Jesus, peace has been made between our Heavenly Father, God, and ourselves. And therefore, peace has also been made on a horizontal level between ourselves and others. Through Christ, walls have been broken down, and now we can have a relationship with God. our Heavenly Father. This enables us, this breaking down of walls, enables us to experience unity, which is what God has had planned from the very beginning. But unity does not mean that we all necessarily see things exactly the same, or we have all the same gifts, or that we have all the same convictions about certain things. That's not necessarily unity. In Christ, we know that unity does mean that we can live together as brothers and sisters in Christ and not view each other as enemies. Sometimes these differences that maybe kind of speak to this unity issue are largely related to secondary issues. For example, Westwood is a Mennonite Brethren church which embraces believers' baptism. That is, we understand the scriptures to teach that those who personally place their faith in Jesus Christ, confessing him as their Savior, as Jenna did today, voluntarily respond to Christ's command to be baptized. Personal believers' baptism. This is what we teach. This is what we practice because we have convictions, and those convictions are rooted in our understanding of the scriptures. We further believe that those who are baptized in believers' baptism do not do so as a lone ranger disciple, but they do so in community, where together as the people of God, this community of faith will come around Jenna and encourage her, support her, bless her, pray for her, helping her to grow in the same way that she's going to help us to grow. We don't do this alone. These are our convictions. Now, there are those within our church family who may feel differently if they grew up with the background of infant baptism or with a background that didn't necessarily have such a strong emphasis on community. Even though we may share different convictions on these areas of faith and life, and even though Westwood can be unapologetic about our convictions, we can still view one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, not as enemies, because Jesus is our peace. But then we also discovered last week that because Jesus does this, he knits us together, and he brings these different groups of people, these Jews and these Gentiles, everybody else, something that seemed impossible. Like, really? He brings these two people, groups of people together, bringing all these different parts, and with him as our cornerstone, his church is built with his very Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, dwelling within. And in Paul's words, this is absolutely astounding, and it's a mystery. And this is where we pick it up in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 1. Paul says, "For this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, that is, all you who have been at one time left out, walls, divisions, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are also heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus." Paul is absolutely astounded, blown away, that God would bring two groups of people who were very different from each other and make them one. He calls it a mystery. And when we think of mystery, we usually think of a mystery as something to be figured out, a puzzle, something unexplainable. But Paul, he uses the word differently. Paul means something which is beyond natural knowledge. So it's something that is kind of out there, but it's been opened to us by divine revelation through the Holy Spirit. Later on in Colossians, he kind of says the same thing. The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. And as Paul goes on and he talks about this mystery, we realize he's speaking about the church. Like, who would have imagined? Who would have imagined that God would have a plan to bring people who are very different from one another? He would break down walls that exist. He would peel down hostilities and he would create one new body and call it the church. And then he goes on and he says, everybody in this new body all gets the same inheritance. Like nobody gets more, nobody gets less. We all get the same inheritance. That's Jesus. And each member of the body becomes a member of the other. And so they support one another and they encourage one another and they keep one another accountable as they are knit together, becoming members of one another. Like who does that? This is not the way the world looks at it. And they all become sharers in the same kingdom, the church. Paul was blown away. He could not have imagined something more bizarre because it seemed impossible. How can you make one body out of so many different and weird parts? So I want you to stop for a moment and just think about this. And I want you to take a look at the people around you, down the pew, beside you. Why are you laughing, Ron? Take a look, just stop. Take a look around at the people around you. Like, you know some of them, and you know full well that some of them are quite different than you. And you know that you've got different gifts. You know that you have different feelings about things. If you're married, you're going like, how in the world did we ever get hooked up again? So, some of you even know that there's quirks about other people that just kind of astound you. And you can keep your inner voice to yourself. But here's the thing. God, in his wisdom, has put you and me together in the same room, maybe even in the same pew, and he calls us the church, and that was his plan from the very beginning. And you know what? This kind of reality surprises people, because this kind of a thing actually doesn't necessarily always work or is found within the world. And many people's perceptions of the church is that we don't experience unity, that we're not one body, but that we're an internally divisive group with a long list of don'ts, which has no interest in cultural engagement, which actually neuters the church and does make it irrelevant. So even Paul is blown away that God would do something like this. But so what? Why does Paul make such a big deal about this, and why have I spent so much time on this one point? Like, was his goal for the people of God, the church, to feel good about themselves? Maybe sing kumbaya around a campfire out in the bush? Did he want the church to form a holy huddle, sticking to themselves, becoming some kind of a separatist group, never venturing out or thinking about others who were different than them and having nothing to do with them, having nothing to do with each of those who, like them, formerly were far from God? Not at all. Look at our text, verse 10, and this is really where the heart of this passage is all about. God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. God's purpose in this was to use the church to display his wisdom. And not just to display it anywhere, but to display it to the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Did you know that you and me, our church, Westwood Church, is a part of a cosmic drama? I'm not a Star Wars fan, but if you are, you don't have to play act anymore with your laser, plastic laser kind of wands and black capes. You are a part of a cosmic drama where in the very heavenlies we're being watched as to how the Church of Jesus Christ either displays or does not display the wisdom of God. Have you ever thought about this before? Does the church matter? And if we're being watched, what do they see? Last week, we talked about how Jesus has made unity possible by shattering these walls of prejudice and injustice and separation as Jesus himself becomes our peace. And in our world, creating walls of division is a whole lot easier than reconciling differences. Making peace with others is not always the first choice when we desire to prove who's right and who's wrong. So when followers of Jesus follow his example in being our peace, and they pick up their cross, which is another way of saying they will lay their life down, which is a sign of weakness in our world, these become powerful and purposeful marks of the Church of Jesus Christ in the world that is seen as far as into the heavenlies. So every time one member of the body of Christ moves towards another member in the body of Christ, when they could retreat or build a wall because of conflict, it's witnessed by those who live around us, like even those in our pew and in this room. And it's being watched by the unseen realms desiring division among the people of God. Does this matter? Every time another person who speaks a language other than English or who has a different skin color other than white finds a home at Westwood, did you know that our church family displays the wisdom of God and sends a powerful message of unity to our world, including hostile powers we cannot see who seek to divide humanity? Do you see what Paul is saying? This has huge implications. Does the church matter? And the more diverse we become in language and skin color and cultural background, which with Jesus as our cornerstone, the stronger our evangelistic message becomes as we display the wisdom of God. Every time someone says yes to Jesus by dying to self and publicly surrendering to him as their Lord and Savior, as Jenna and Chase are doing later on this morning, the wisdom of God is displayed, and some powers in the heavenly realms rejoice with these steps of faith, while others who oppose Jesus shrink back. Does this matter? When the rest of our church family comes alongside these young people, not leaving them as orphans to walk this journey alone, but comes around them, supporting them as they are knit together into the very fabric of the whole body, the wisdom of God is displayed once more, sending a very strong message to a world that values I can do this thing on my own. That God, in his wisdom, has created one body where the many and varied parts support one another as they keep Jesus at the center. Does this matter? So if you've ever wondered if the church is irrelevant or not making a difference, my suggestion is not that you point at the person next to you and blame it on their weirdness. My suggestion is that you don't look at the church as some corporate entity, because it's not. It's a collection of many and varied people knit together by Jesus as their cornerstone and who matter big time. My suggestion would be that as a follower of Jesus, you look in the mirror and ask the question of yourself, how am I displaying the wisdom of God, not just to those who can visibly see me, but to those who are watching from the unseen realm? You see, the faithful church of Jesus Christ, the people of God, are never passive recipients of his grace, going along for some ride. The faithful church of Jesus Christ actively displays the wisdom of God in its varied and many ways, making plain who God is and what he has done for us. And we make it plain to the entire world, even to those in the unseen realm who are watching. Does the church matter? Does Westwood Church matter? Can we make a difference in our community and around the world? By now, I hope you can say with me, yes. Yes, the church, the people of God, matters. Yes, we can make a difference. Yes, the church is God's plan A to make his good news known. He doesn't have a plan B. This is what Ephesians teaches us. So this means that Westwood Church, God's local manifestation of the universal church, is very, very important. And each one of us who makes up our church family is important, contributing in displaying the wisdom of God for all to see. So how then should we respond as the people of God? So let's take everything that, you know, Paul is kind of boiling it down to in this part of Ephesians, and how are we supposed to respond practically? I would say, first and foremost, if you are a disciple of Jesus Christ here this morning, and Westwood Church is a part of your church family, this is home for you, I would simply ask that you evaluate your life and ask the question, does your life demonstrate God at work? Are you displaying the wisdom of God in and how you live? Sometimes people can see the work of God in their lives in very clear and measurable ways. Usually that's the way we like it. But sometimes God's at work in our lives in ways that we cannot always see so clearly, and we find ourselves in process. But you know what? That's okay. And that's where the community of God's people becomes very, very important and can help us see God at work or identify areas that need some work. But know this, God's intent is that every disciple of Jesus Christ give evidence to his work within them, that the world may see a display of God's wisdom. Evaluate your life, because you have a profound effect on whether or not the church is actually being all that it can be in displaying the wisdom of God. A second opportunity to respond would be to treat the church as God's plan A and not something less. And I realize that as a pastor and as one who loves the church and is called to serve the church in its local expression, I'm quite excited about the church. I'm hopeful in spite of all of our quirks and flaws and challenges. God does use us. For that, we can be grateful. And if you're not yet a disciple of Jesus Christ here and you've wondered sometimes, like, really? The church? Like, is it irrelevant? I've had a bad experience by the church? Well, I would apologize. I would say sorry when the church has messed up in your life and made it harder for you to see the wisdom of God at work. But we're flawed. Our desire is to display the wisdom of God. And so please don't let our bumps or our wrinkles hinder you from coming to know Jesus, who is our cornerstone. So treat the church as God's plan A and not something less. And unfortunately, the people of God can sometimes be known as consumers and complainers, both of which are unhelpful if we're to display God's wisdom to the world. I've only hitchhiked once in my life, and it was from Prince George, ironically, to Fort St. James. My 1978 Toyota Celica, black, tinted windows, big mags, it was broken down in Fort St. James on one summer when I was tree planting. And so I had to hitchhike back there to get it. I've only hitchhiked that one time. But I discovered that holding your thumb out on the side of the highway sends a clear message to those who are driving by. If you will provide the car, the fuel, the time, and do all the driving, I'll ride with you. But don't expect me to help out with gas money, because I don't have any. That's why I got the thumb out. And if you get in an accident and I'm injured, be prepared that I will sue you. But other than that, I'd love to ride with you. Sure, hop in, buddy. You know, it's unfortunate when the same attitude is found among the people of God who make up the local church. If you supply an attractive building, a hip worship band, great preaching, well-staffed children's and youth ministry for my kids, and a coffee bar with fair trade beans, I'll ride with you. But I got a full life, so don't expect me to serve other people. And I'm not into that life group thing. Gets a little too personal and vulnerable for me. I might throw in a few bucks when I remember, but generous sacrificial giving that shows how much I think of God, my kids' activities eat up a lot of cash. And if the preaching starts to make me feel a little uncomfortable, that could be a problem. And speaking of problems, if anything about this church irritates me, I'll be the first to tell you. So, on my own terms, I'll ride with you. Sure thing, buddy. Hop on in. Do you know when Paul writes how the church is on display for all to see the wisdom of God? Do you know where Paul is? He's in prison, suffering on behalf of the church, even prepared to give his life for the church, the people of God, because he believes that the people of God, you and me, are God's vehicle, God's plan A to reach people for Jesus. So, Westwood Church, we kid no one, not even those watching in the unseen realm with our attitudes or our actions. So let's not treat that which God created to announce good news and display his wisdom as something much less. So if you're a strand being knit together in this body, that's awesome, and may God continue to use you as together we display his wisdom. If you have your thumb out, I would invite you to make a choice. Start pulling together with the rest of us in the mission that God has for Westwood, or if this is not the church family for you, for all kinds of reasons, that's okay. But then let's find another one that you actually can become a part of the team, a part of the strand being knit together, where you can dive in because the church matters. And lastly, anticipate what God might do through Westwood Church as we live out this message, displaying the wisdom of God in its many and varied ways. Because Jesus said he will build his church, and that's a promise. What a responsibility, what a privilege. I get little snippets from, you know, now and then about what's going on. It's hard to know everything that's going on, and that's kind of cool and kind of challenging all at the same time. But to every college student, to every university student, like, this church needs to know that these folks are making an unbelievable difference at CNC and UNBC. My encouragement to that crowd is to stick close to Jesus and keep doing what you're doing, and may we come alongside and encourage and pray for you. To every business person and employee, as you display the wisdom of God and how you conduct your business and how you go about running your show and your ethics, it is seen in the heavenlies and it's making an eternal difference. To every homemaker, to every mom, to every grandparent and every empty nester, every child and youth, can you imagine what God could yet do in and through our church family, Westwood Church, as each part of the body goes about making known the wisdom of God. All the spiritual gifts being used among us, being used in a manner not to glorify self, but to glorify God who's given us life. Our resources of time, talent, treasure, offered not out of compulsion, but because of a generous and sacrificial desire to see God's kingdom advanced. People loved and cared for so much within this body that God's love and grace is made plain to everyone as it flows out from here throughout this city, throughout our province, and indeed throughout the world. Now to him who's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations. Amen. Let's stand together. So, Father, we are grateful that in your wisdom you brought us together. You are in the job of knitting people one from the other, different in many and varied ways. And you've given us this task to do, to display your wisdom. Oh, loving Father, would you help us to do that in increasing measure? We ask for your forgiveness when we've treated your body as something less. May you work within us and continue to shape, smooth out the rough spots, that people would know of your love because we're making it plain to them. And so to that end, we invite your Spirit to work in us and through us. Amen.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. worship his holy name. Sing like never.